Oh, no, I'm only kidding. My name is Johnny. I'm an addict. I was over here almost sleeping. I'm 63 years old. And, you know, you do get a little tired. But once I start sharing, I'll be all right. I might go off the topic now a little bit. I'm just going to let you know that. So that way there's no surprises. I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in New York with a high top and low top sneaker on. And I seen you all with gold, Cadillacs, chains, and all of this crazy shit, Stolex watches. I said, I'm going to get something like this. So I kept coming back. But see, all of that stuff didn't matter. But it attracted me. I used drugs for 40 years. I was on the methadone program for 31 years. I walked in the rooms, I was still going through methadone withdrawal. And part of this is that people had to take me to Greenwich Village, New York, because I had nowhere to go, because the meetings were 24/7. And they didn't trust me to be alone. And as a little time went on, I got me a room in the YMCA. Now I'm talking shit. I had two TVs, one with a picture, one with a voice. But I had it going on, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have to go to the methadone program anymore. And I came in the rooms at 50, smoking crack. You know what a 50-year-old crackhead looked like? See, you can say more be revealed on that too. But see, the whole idea of Narcotics Anonymous, they taught me how to live without the drug. And then I walked into this meeting one day, and this lady speaking. I liked her. But the only problem was I had 60 days clean and she had 13 years. And I said, yo, baby, you want to go out with me? She saw my apparel. She said, are you out of your goddamn mind? And she even said, keep coming back. So a year later, I'm speaking at a group anniversary, and here comes that woman. I said, yo, can I get your phone number? She goes, yes. Now I'm telling all my friends, yo, I got a phone number, I'm on, I'm going to do this thing now, I'm good. They say, you ain't even got a phone, yo. But see, getting back to the topic, this lady who has more degrees than the weather outside showed me how to shop, taught me how to go into a bank, showed me how to buy a car. Because I had to be taught all over again. Now all of a sudden I bought. Now what the hell was I saying? I know what I'm saying. How's that? All right. So I paid that car off. Now, that car company, and said, it was a Ford Focus, a first-time buyer, because I was on welfare 32 years. You know, they don't give you credit with food stamps. And now, all of a sudden, this guy is calling me every single night and wants to give me $40,000 credit. A crackhead? I told him, I'll get rid of him. He called one day, he called me one night, and I said to him, yo, I smoke crack. He ain't never called me again. See, I got it really raw when I first came around because of my years of using. Sit down, shut your mouth, and don't say nothing. Because you don't know nothing anyway. And they were right. And that's what I did. See, I never had a job in my life. Well, I don't count taking people's TVs and shit, but you know, addicts, you know, they carry a TV down the block, the longer they carry it, the cheaper it gets. That's why I love telling addict jokes. You tell them a joke at 9, they laugh at 9:30. We on delayed reaction. Today I work in the field. And that was a blessing in itself. How to advance yourself only because I came in these rooms. And that was really a blessing for me. Not only because I always say one thing, I had to meet me first. Then I met a God. Then I met you people. In that order. Because I had so many issues when I came in here. I lost a son at 19 years old. Got shot and killed in the Bronx. I ID'd the body at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I know he was a hustler. And I took the kids' money and never went to the funeral. My mother was an addict. She died and I never got to her funeral. My father hung himself. I cut him down, took his wallet because I figured the paramedics were going to take it. You know that shit in New York. They do that. And I never got to his funeral. So I came in with a lot of issues. So I had to do some work in here. I had to work on the man in the mirror here because it would have been too easy to go out there and use again. Because I probably wouldn't have came back at my age. So what I'm saying is that working here on work, step work, whatever work you want to do, therapy, because some of us sometimes have to go outside the rooms to get, you know, personal help. I have a daughter today that's she got about 4.5 years clean now. You know, and that's a blessing in itself to see that. But when I came into these rooms, nobody really judged me. I mean, you know, it was rough, you know, because I wanted things. Don't get me wrong. I want to get a job right away. I ain't never had a job. Even today, I work in the field. I don't know. I didn't know. I can't tell my CEO she's full of shit. But I did. I got 5 write-ups there. And I'm still there. And I got Employee of the Year in 2004. And who's crazy? They hired me. But see, when I went there, I didn't have a resume like the rest of everybody else that was going for the same job. I told them the truth. I never had a job before, but you know what? If you hire me, I'll do a good job for you. And I told him the truth. And I've been there 11 years. Thank you. And oh, by the way, let me get back to that lady I met. Going on 12 years with her. Yeah, she's coming up on 25 years, you know, and for the grace of God that we're still together. And you know what? It's very, very important because, you know what? I had to learn how to love here. You see, I can go out. I mean, let's face the facts, fellas. I mean, we go out there and, you know, woman and this and that and, you know, look at me, you know. But I wanted to learn how to have a relationship. And that was very important for me. To come in here and have one lady. Even on my job, you know, I have ladies there and they tell me this and they tell me that. But I'm always going home to mama. I got used to eating every day. You know, I was tired of little Debbie's. You know, pretending. Eating a little Debbie with a knife and fork. And think you've got to stay. See, that's the part of being a legend in your own mind. For years, I was a legend in my own mind. Now I just can be me. I love going out sharing because I love the newcomer. I love to see somebody get up and say they got money left over from last night. You smoke crack, you ain't got shit left over from last night. But I just want to say also that it was difficult coming here, you know, but it was something I needed to do. I don't know if anybody understands that because, I mean, I have many, many excuses. I worked all week. I'm old. I'm tired, you know. But really, there's no excuse. Because, you know what? I got to go out and show people that this program works. The biggest fear I ever had in my life is the day I got off of welfare. And I'm going to tell you why. When you're on for over 30 years, it was very comfortable. I was in one facility 31 times in Yonkers. Back in the day, thank you everybody here that had a job that took care of me. If you know where I'm coming from. But, and I never forget, you see, being a heroin addict, pill abuser, and all that other stuff, I didn't like crackheads. You come in to detox, eat up all the goddamn Cheerios. So I became one. That was the craziest shit I ever took in my life. Putting the TV on mute and think it's too loud. Tiptoeing around the house, ain't nobody home. I gotta remember that. See, I believe I was brain surgery on crack. You get one hit, you got a razor blade, you cut it in 10 pieces. You only have one. I told you I go different because I'm a freelance speaker. I like to let people know where I've been and where I'm at. And basically, that's all people have to know, that this program works. That I'm not the same person that walked in the rooms 13 years ago. And that's important for me to let people know. 13 years. I've been to meetings where I really got off. I said, I don't like none of you motherfuckers in here. And the reason why I didn't like them, because I didn't like me. So if I don't like me, how am I supposed to like you? So now, all of a sudden, how I found out when I miss meetings, because I do miss some here and there, how much I miss you guys. See, we lost a daughter on January 25th with leukemia, and we don't use no matter what. We get through it with support, with other people, and most of all, with each other. This is the same guy that when I first really walked in, before I met my lady, asked a woman for a date and meet me at the coffee pot. Total insanity. But I always remember, I speak about the people in the beginning that when I had no money and they told me, come with us, we'll buy you a breakfast. Are you hungry tonight? They bought me dinner. Now I gotta buy her dinner. Why? Because that's how it works. They took care of me, now you gotta take care of somebody else. If they need some clothing, you gotta give it to them. That's important. Because you wouldn't be where you are now without Narcotics Anonymous. See, I have to... There's a motorcycle out front that needs to be moved, or it's getting towed.
Okay, sorry.
You know, I forgot to thank the committee for asking me to come here. Wow, I'm almost finished. But more important, they put it on their telephone bill. If any, the motorcycle is important. But anyway, is that... What was I saying? I'm only kidding. Yeah. That last hit took me over the edge. But more importantly, see, I was told that, you were stupid. See, I work with a lot of well-educated people in the field. You know, they read off papers of how do you do, and the philosophy of the human mind is, there ain't no damn philosophy when I smoke crack. I sell everything. That's what I don't understand. Today they're trying to put these big words into people instead of trying to just keep it simple and just come with us and we'll help you. See, I raised my hand in my meeting, the first one. And And I told somebody.
Excuse me. We have a medical emergency. If you're a motorcycle driver, we now need you to move your motorcycles now. We have an emergency, okay? If you're in here and you have an motorcycle, please come and move. Thank you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. This is God working in my life. He knows I forget it quick. See, I tried a lot of different things to stop, though. Even before Narcotics Anonymous. I tried the church once. See, of course, where I come from, I had a listing of churches in my pocket that fed you. And I went into this church one time, and I never forget this as long as I live. Three ladies called me up to the front with big hats and white stockings. And they were saying, "Here, brother." And I said, "Let me get the hell out of here." They said, "Where you going, brother?" I said, "The methadone program." "Oh, no, God gonna take that from you." "No, he ain't. I'm on 180 milligrams. God ain't taking that much. So now I see this lady next to me in the pew. She passed out. Which I thought she passed out. The pastor and the congregation came running up and they said, "Leave her alone, brother. She caught up in the spirit." And they put a blanket on her. I said, "Look here, brother. If I go down like that, you call 911. Because you people scare me. But I put a food stamp in their basket. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I had no money. I had three bags of clothes the next day from them church people. So the miracle was starting before I even saw it. And I run into them people every once in a while. You see, I got to remember, and I let people know this. I mean, you know, I'm here to share. I like to get to know people. I don't do it no more. I remember being in a stationery store with about 2 years clean. And an old lady dropped a 20. Now, I believe God sent it to me. I did the Michael Jackson. So they said to me, "You know, Johnny, you ever run into that lady, you got to make amends to her." I said, "All right, I ain't going to see her." Sure enough, I ran into that woman. I gave her back her 10. Got to have the edge, man. It's having fun with people. See, at my age today, Narcotics Anonymous taught me to have fun with grandchildren. Imagine that. I came in looking like one. Today I am one. And I always bless myself and say to myself one thing. Sometimes I don't believe in myself, you know. Because, see, being a legend in my own mind, I remember I went to Boca Raton, Florida. I'd never been on an airplane until I was 50 years old. So we get off the plane, and the captain said, "You enjoy your flight, sir?" I said, "Hell yeah, we made it." I said, "Well, this is my first airplane ride." So he called these two flight attendants over, and they gave me wings and a tattoo. Yeah. Now I think I'm the pilot. So I stood right next to him as they're getting off. I said, "You enjoy your flight, ma'am?" Now I'm looking for my lady. She gone. Embarrassed. I said, "No, you should be embarrassed when I was in the street." I remember one time I took her to the St. Patty's Day parade. And the guy that cleans the streets is looking up at me like this. And my lady says, "You have a problem?" He goes, "No. This is the first time I ever seen him standing." You see, you do a lot of crazy things when you're out there using. You know, you wake up the people you don't know. That happened to me when I was 32 years old. I thought I was in my house, but I wasn't. And I went in this bed, and lady, I didn't know, the next morning, we wake up, she was 70-something. She looked good. And as I'm leaving, I said, "Did we?" She goes, "I'll never tell." I just want to thank you. I want to thank the committee again. I want to thank you for your attention span. And I know I went off a little differently, probably what you expected. But you know what? There's no perfect speaker. You know what I mean? Always remember that. Just hear what he got to say, or she got to say. That's all you got to do. Listen to the message. God bless. Thanks for letting me share.